That is a gag order put on him by his employer, CNN. But now he has come out in the open with, I guess, the first reaction, and it will be the final reaction. He says he's not going to talk about it anymore. Don't know why. My guess is he may leave CNN and go someplace where he can talk about this and a whole lot of other stuff. I'm just guessing on this, but I don't think that Chris Cuomo, first of all, he's not going to want to give up $1 million or whatever he's making by doing a nightly show on CNN. But I also don't think he's going to want to be muted on this stage. I just don't see it. Stay where you are. Captain Sam Brown, Republican U.S. Senate candidate in Nevada. By the way, Adam Laxalt got into the race yesterday. How about that? He'll join us tomorrow, I believe. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next. Here. For the past couple of years, I've witnessed a pretty sizable loss of hearing. Decades of using overdriven radio station headphones have resulted in me constantly having to say, "Excuse me?" or "What?" The loss of hearing forced me to drop out of some of the conversations, and for a guy who makes his living talking to listeners, that was frustrating. So I asked Steve Romeo at Quality Hearing Aids to test my hearing, and he confirmed what I had suspected. Not only did I have hearing loss, but there were words I could hear but not understand. Steve fitted me with new hearing aids, and the difference is incredible. Now they've even hooked me up to my smartphone so I can make calls anywhere. It's like night and day. If hearing loss is causing you to miss out on all this world has to offer, call my friend Steve Romeo at Quality Hearing Aids, 702-369-1321. That's 702-369-1321, or check them out at QHALV.com. That's QHALV.com.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The Democrat chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee is vowing to investigate the rapid collapse of Afghanistan. Capitol Hill correspondent Bob Agnew reports.
Virginia Senator Mark Warner is vowing to work with other Senate committees to investigate the rapid fall of Afghanistan to the Taliban. Senator Warner says the probe will ask what he calls tough but necessary questions about why the U.S. was caught off guard by the Taliban's speedy takeover. Warner says the probe will seek to learn why, in his words, we weren't better prepared for a worst-case scenario involving such a swift and total collapse of the Afghan government and security forces. Bob Agnew reporting.
Portions of Georgia has been hit hard by Tropical Storm Fred. Sumter County Emergency Management Director Nigel Poole says parts of the county aren't safe for travel after getting hit by Fred.
We encourage people just to enjoy the pictures they see on the news and in the newspaper and on Facebook, but try not to come over to this location unless you live here or have a good reason to be here. It's just not safe at this time.
Fred has weakened to a depression and spawned several apparent tornadoes in Georgia as it dumps heavy rains into the Appalachian Mountains. It's on a path that could cause flash floods into upstate New York. Thousands were without power in the Florida Panhandle, where it came ashore as a tropical storm on Monday afternoon. As early as Wednesday, U.S. health authorities are expected to recommend an extra dose of the COVID-19 vaccine for all Americans 8 months after they get their second shot. Officials in Haiti have raised the death toll from a powerful weekend earthquake to more than 1,900. The Civil Protection Agency announced the numbers on Tuesday when strong winds and rains dealt by Tropical Storm Grace forced a temporary halt in rescue and recovery efforts. The agency raised the death toll to 1,941 and the number of injured to 9,900. The devastation is centered in the country's southwestern area. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 287 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
The United States has killed Osama bin Laden.
Hours after that announcement, the White House leaked that it was SEAL Team 6 that carried out the operation. Al-Qaeda placed bounties on the heads of all Navy SEALs. Then just 3 months later, a U.S. Army helicopter carrying many from SEAL Team 6 and others.
Anybody out there? You're a fallen angel. Fallen angel. Roger.
Fallen Angel, Extortion 1-7. The story most Americans don't know. Watch exclusively at SalemNow.com.
Both were prosecutors in the Clark County District Attorney's Office, each with 25 years of experience. One was chief of the Special Victims Unit, the other chief of the Homicide Unit. Both dedicated, both respected. Together, they are Craig Hendricks and Frank Como, the Vegas Dream Team for criminal defense you need in your corner. Call 702-222-9999 or visit VegasDreamTeam.com, a division of DeCastro Verde Law Group.
A union we can count on. A union with a legacy known for hard work and getting things done. We're the ones who built this city with pride. Our members are our family, and their well-being is our number one priority. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
404, this is your KMZQ News Flash, powered by DeCastro Verde Law Group. If you've been injured, their family will fight for yours. I'm Jim Dallas. Large venues like Allegiant Stadium and T-Mobile Arena could opt out of Nevada's indoor mask mandate by requiring proof of COVID-19 vaccinations. Governor Sisolak's latest directive allows venues with more than 4,000 seats, which require fans to at least be partially vaccinated, to drop the mask mandate for those who are fully vaccinated. The governor also said venues using that option could administer vaccines outside the event to allow unvaccinated attendees to enter. After the governor issued the new directive, the Las Vegas Raiders announced fans will be required to present proof of COVID-19 vaccinations to attend games at Allegiant Stadium. Team officials say the policy will be in effect beginning on the first regular season home game. That's the Monday Night Football game on September 13th against the Baltimore Ravens. The Raiders are suggesting fans use the Clear app and Health Pass feature to prove that they have been vaccinated. The Raiders are the first NFL team to announce that vaccine, no mask policy. Nevada's two-week positivity rate is 16.2. That's down slightly.
KMZQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
Steady but slow through the resort area right now. Interstate 15 south at Sahara, north at Charleston. Only two lanes are available on the 515 westbound at Eastern. You're bumper to bumper all the way into the Spaghetti Bowl there. And lane restrictions also causing delays. 515 eastbound at Las Vegas Boulevard.
Gather around! And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are, well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of it.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do, when he follow through, the exact opposite.
Check it out!
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. It's just, when you think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right! To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people!
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us on this Tuesday edition of Live and Local. The day after, we witnessed some just horrific pictures from Kabul, Afghanistan, as a cargo plane was trying to take off, and people were literally clinging to the wheels. It was so incredibly sad and so scary. A guy that had to have some special feelings about this is a guy that served proudly in Afghanistan. His vehicle was struck by an IED blast in Afghanistan in 2008. He suffered burns, and to this day, still, obviously, is impacted by what he has been seeing. Captain Sam Brown, he is also a Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate. Here in Nevada, and he is welcome on this show anytime. Captain Sam Brown, how you doing?
Kevin, doing well. Thank you for having me on today.
What did you think when you saw these pictures coming out of Kabul, having served there? Can you talk a little bit about your emotions when you saw that?
You know, Kevin, this is a difficult thing, not only for me, but for a lot of my friends who served there as well, to be able to put into a word or even a sentence. It's astounding. There's a sense of grief. I knew that Afghanistan was going to have a sort of a terrible end to it at some point, but to watch it happen live just elicits emotions that I couldn't have expected, and it's deeply troubling, and it's just sad. It's a sad, sad end.
I saw some Gold Star families on one of the cable news channels over the last couple of days, and they weren't just grief stricken; they were angry. Does anger encompass some of your emotions when it comes to this? After all you've given for Afghanistan, for our country's participation in that 20-year war?
Absolutely. That's anger. Anger certainly is one of the emotions, but like I said, I mean, it's such a complex emotional thing. I'm not sure that I've actually experienced anything quite like this, you know, where at times I'm just angry, other times I'm frustrated. There's feelings of just kind of almost hopelessness, in the situation, what can we do from here? And in the position we are in as combat veterans of Afghanistan or just as Americans, there's just so many intertwined emotions, and anger is certainly one of them.
What did we do wrong in this exit strategy? Clearly it did not work. And I've heard some people on cable news say, well, we couldn't have done it any differently because the outcome would have been the same. People, would still be running for their lives in Kabul. Could we have done this differently? Could we have done this better?
I believe we have to have been able to do this better. And it's tough to know exactly what any other scenario would play out. But here's one way to look at it, Kevin, is could it have gone any worse?
Good point.
And so if it couldn't have gone any worse, then certainly we could have done it better. I think there's some of the major failures in my estimation. And look, I mean, I don't want to overplay my role in Afghanistan. I was a platoon leader. I wasn't some sort of, colonel or general, who had visibility over, an entire, sector of the country or the entire country. I mean, I was on the ground with, a platoon full of infantrymen just like me. I happened to be the one who was, in command of that platoon. And there's major issues that I saw from my brief experience there that led me to believe for years now that any sort of eventual shutdown of U.S. operations, we're going to have an eventual result of the Taliban having complete command and control. And so if I can see that, if the folks who joined out of high school, and served 8 years and then got out, or, even people who left a career and, maybe left as a sergeant. I guess what I'm trying to say is if you were on the ground, for many of us, this was not surprising. And how does our intelligence agencies, how do our politicians, how do the generals who you know, sit in Senate committee rooms and, you know, answer, you know, press conferences and all of this, with all of their information, with all of their power, how did they not see this coming? And if they did, why did they lie to the American people and those of us who put on the uniform and took their orders and suffered the consequences of it?
Senator Mark Warner of Virginia says he wants a complete investigation and that he will get the help of a number of different Senate committees. Do you think we'll get to the bottom of who screwed this thing up?
You know, I have little faith in Senate committee hearings getting to the bottom of anything. This is one of the issues and things that sort of drives me to run for office is, you know, what good do these hearings do? Where are the teeth? You know, is it just a political grandstanding moment for someone to grill somebody? It's I have little faith in getting actual answers. And look, Kevin, at the end of the day, if they have answers, it doesn't undo the harm that's been done, unless we have a country that is committed to never letting this happen again. It can't just be politicians committed. Our country has to be committed to holding our leadership accountable to not allow this to happen again.
I want to ask you a question that goes back to the beginning of all of this, and that is, was there a point in time before you deployed to Afghanistan, while you were there, after you left, injured and with some pretty serious health challenges, was there ever a time when you said, why are we doing this? I mean, what is there here that is of strategic value to the United States? Do they have, all kinds of diamond mines? Do they have natural resources of other kinds that might be valuable to us? Was there ever a time when you said, why are we doing this for these people?
Yeah, I would say that, so I've been on sort of a full spectrum of, you know, belief and conviction on our operations there. You know, you have to remember, Kevin, like, so I was a senior in high school when we were attacked on 9/11. I got accepted to West Point the following month, and I was starting at West Point less than a year later. And so at that point in time, and I still to this day believe that we had very good reason and let's call it justification for going in there to disrupt Al-Qaeda. But then once I started at West Point and the things that I was learning to become the leader that I became started to become about counterinsurgency operations, nation building. General David Petraeus had a very large presence in sort of what I'm going to call military academia and, you know, shaping, you know, policy and strategy. And so at that point when I left West Point and I became a young platoon leader, I was very bought into this idea of, you know, sort of, counterinsurgency operations, nation building, you know, this, what I call, you know, almost a marriage between the Department of State and Department of Defense. But when I got there and I started to understand that the people that we called our enemy were largely, you know, farmers and people who work in the markets, we might call them the Taliban today, they weren't, the people who I was seeing wasn't even necessarily the Taliban. They were people whose lives were threatened by this Islamic terrorist group, which is the Taliban, to go inflict harm against us. And if they didn't, they were, you know, their lives were threatened. And it occurred to me there, Al-Qaeda was pretty well flushed out. So this is now 2008. And these folks that I'm having to deal with on a day-to-day basis, they don't have any capability and probably no desire to try and mobilize, you know, their goat farm against the United States of America. And so that's when I guess I started to have a shift. And over the years since then, I've looked at things more and more objectively, and I've gotten to a place where I've concluded that we are where we are today, but if we could roll back the clock, I think we should have left after we completely disrupted Al-Qaeda and then just continue to monitor it like we would any other place that we know there are cells of terrorists that, you know, seek to harm Americans.
And we knew a year or two into this 20-year war that Osama bin Laden wasn't there. Am I right on that? I mean, was that what the intelligence told you?
I mean, that wasn't my field. That wasn't my mission. But it's my understanding that's probably pretty common knowledge.
I want to ask you because you are not just a proud veteran, Captain Sam Brown, but you're also a Republican U.S. Senate candidate here in Nevada. And yesterday, Adam Laxalt added his name to the list of folks running for this office. And you put out a release essentially, in a way, welcoming him to the race. Your thoughts on the entry of the former AG?
You know, I think it's always good for folks to have, you know, a selection of people that represent their interest and, you know, are capable of performing what should be a very noble task, which is to serve a country, to serve a state. You know, Adam's got a history here in this state. People know him. A lot more people know him, you know, today than know me. But I'm working hard to make sure that people know who I am, why I'm here to serve them. And I just hope that at the end of the day, that in Adam getting in this race, he didn't miss an opportunity to sort of take a new role in politics, which is to use his name and his ability to raise money to support other good candidates. And I'm just afraid he may miss that opportunity by jumping into this race today.
Have you been in communication with the Laxalt campaign, and is there any hope that the two of you will be on the same stage together?
You know, I've reached out to his team in the past, have not had any recent communication with them or from them, and so there's nothing on the calendar right now. But I'm open to a talk with Adam and in public at any time.
What will be the difference between Sam Brown as a U.S. senator and Adam Laxalt?
I think one of the probably major differences is that I come from a different background, and you know, I come from a working class family where my father literally sat me down before I went into high school and said, "Son, I need you to know that everything you do in high school is going to count towards your ability to get into college, and I can't pay for you to go to school. So you're going to have to figure it out and work hard." And that sort of put me on a path of, you know, of knowing that I was going to have to work my way through life, and that hard work meant something. And I, because of that, I'm able to identify with people who are really suffering the consequences of poor leadership, both in Carson City and in D.C. And, you know, Kevin, I moved here 3 years ago because I wanted to live at a place that my family could really just thrive and love the outdoors. We moved here from Texas, and it's hot and humid, and it's not good for my burn scars. And my wife and I love our time in, you know, the Sierras and the high desert. And the opportunity I moved here with, I just came out of getting my MBA, but I took a job with Amazon at a warehouse, working in operations, packing boxes, loading trucks, sweating, you know, almost 10 hours a day, because it allowed me to live in a place where I wanted to raise my family. And, you know, since then, I was able to get my business off the ground that I'd been working on out of my MBA program. And so I do that now today professionally. But, you know, I love the folks who sweat and work and make this state go and make this country go. And we need representation.
When you talk about needs, what does your campaign need at this point? It's a relatively early juncture, but you've now got a clear opponent in Adam Laxalt. He's going to have name recognition. He's got a lot of money that he's raised. What is it that your campaign needs at this point?
I just need people to give me an opportunity to connect with them, whether that's at events or, you know, tuning into your radio program or, you know, looking at my social media. There's a connection between human beings which shouldn't just be purely political. And and I love being able to understand where people are coming from and help either, you know, convey a message of hope to them, grieve where there's, you know, it's necessary to grieve. And I'm just asking for people to learn more about me, and they can do that at my website,
which is
CaptainSamBrown.com.
You make it so simple for us. Thank you, man. That's great. Captain, yes, Captain Sam Brown, thank you so much. Really good to be with you. And I know folks will be checking you out. And I don't know. This could be a fascinating race, and you're going to be a part of it. Sam, thank you, man, for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again, Kevin. Appreciate you.
There you go. Captain Sam Brown joining us, Republican U.S. Senate candidate here in Nevada. And his personal story is very, very compelling. How will he do as a candidate? Well, that remains to be seen. We're gonna have to find out. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
On air, online, or on demand, take AM 670 KMCQ with you wherever you go. Download the SimpleRadio.com app and make us your favorite today.
With the MultiCare Group, buying life insurance has never been easier. Whatever you need, life insurance, health insurance, or even long-term care, we can help. Call 702-396-9449. The MultiCare Group has access to all the best markets for your needs. Life insurance quotes are available right now, and they're very inexpensive. In this uncertain world, you need affordability. If you're a male 50, you can buy life insurance of $500,000 for only $41. That's $41 a month. Give us a call today for your no-obligation quote. We provide you with all the personal services you need. And the best part, we will always be with you every step of the way. The MultiCare Group makes buying insurance simple. You may want to inquire about long-term care. We have the most innovative plans available. Call us and find out how you can get care at your own home from a long-term care policy. Call the MultiCare Group today and get peace of mind at 702-396-9449. That's 396-9449. Call us today.
There's a reason approved certified pre-owned Jaguars enjoy such an outstanding reputation. They were once new Jaguars. Hi, this is Ray DiNardi. With the 100,000-mile approved certified warranty, pre-owned Jaguars still have plenty of life left in the tank. They're like new in every respect and waiting to take you on many more exhilarating drives. Come find yours today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas, 6425 Roy Horn Way, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
The legislative session was a predictable mess for those of us who believe in free markets, limited and accountable governments, and individual liberty. However, understanding which lawmakers voted for what bills, well, that's just the beginning of being able to hold our elected officials accountable for their actions. What took place in Carson City during the session goes far beyond just the votes that they cast. Nevada Policy's Legislative Report Card is your complete guide to what happened behind the scenes of Nevada's 81st legislative session. Not only is each lawmaker graded on their actions in key policy areas, but we break down exactly how the process unfolded throughout the session. That includes the backroom deals, the trade-offs, and the political nonsense behind every key piece of legislation. Go to nevadapolicy.org/report card and sign up to be the first to receive our 2021 legislative report card when it comes out this summer. That's nevadapolicy.org/report card. This Nevada Policy Update has been brought to you in partnership with the Nevada Trucking Association.
Coach Pete knows that three initials should be part of your retirement plan.
GPI.
We need to have growth. We need to have protection of that growth. So if we get a gain, we make sure we protect that gain. The most important part of a total retirement plan is having lifetime income you can never, ever outlive.
Call Coach Pete and the team, 888-702-6932, 888-702-6932, or text Vegas to 600-700, Vegas to 600-700.
I'm Sam Peters, retired military officer, Bronze Star recipient, conservative business owner, and proud American patriot. For too long, we have felt the devastating impacts of liberal elected officials, the policies they force upon us, and sadly, those citizens that just get in line, forgetting the freedoms and liberties we have as Americans. In America, we have the right, no, the responsibility, to question our elected leaders. It takes courage, but it must be done. We must have the courage to say no to mandatory vaccines, critical race theory, socialism, and the censoring of our constitutional rights. We must hold our elected officials accountable and remind them that we elected them to represent